Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Praise God. It's good to be here this morning. And again, I echo the sentiment. Everyone looks so beautiful today. Praise God. I'll be introducing our speaker. I think, is there anyone here who does not have a program? Who does not have a program? Amen. Amen. Oh, you need a program. We need a program up here this morning. Praise God. As you can see, our dear friend and speaker, Anita Hamm, her bio is here in our program. Of course, I am not going to read all of that. You can read it on you can read it on your time. Amen. But what I wanted to say to each and every one of you, I met Sister Anita after I married my husband, Audrey. Pastor Hamm was Audrey's pastor, friend, and mentor. And they invited us to come to Virginia to speak, to preach, to share, and to be a part of their family in the family of faith. And each time we went, the one thing that always stood out with Sister Anita and Reverend Hamm was their generosity, their kindness. They just exude and ooze with kindness and love. They look just like Jesus in the flesh. They're so kind, and their words were so gracious. Their hospitality was endless, and their friendship continues even to this day. And we are excited to have Sister Anita Hamm here today. I don't get a chance to tell you often, especially in front of people, but I love you. And I thank God for you. I thank God for the word of God that was on the inside of you and how you take every morsel of what God gives you and she shares it with those around her. At this time, please help me welcome, with the love of God, our very own in the family of Christ, Anita Hamm.
Amen, amen. Y'all trying to make me cry, sweat. The praise team almost had me jumping up, was getting ready to sweat, but man, I tell you, Sean was going to have me cry, but thank you all so much for having me. I love you, Pastor. He know I tell it like it is. I love my pastor, Audrey Johnson, and I love Sean. They have been a blessing to myself and my sister in Christ, Ladora Connie. She is not my driver. She is not my armor bearer. She is my sister, and she has been with me, supporting me, praying for me and my family for so much of my life that you see in that bio. When my husband had a stroke, she was, I think, a deputy program manager, and she told the folks, I didn't even know this, y'all. Don't y'all send one email to her. Don't y'all send no phone calls to her. Let her take care of her husband. I didn't even know this till almost years later. But I thank you for your love, Ladora. I thank you for your love, Sean, and I love you, Audrey, and I know I'm not supposed to call. I'm sorry. Not be like them praying as they do, for your father knows. For your father knows what you have need of before you ask him. Jump down to verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Money, possessions, fame, status, or whatever is more value than the Lord. Whatever is more value than the Lord. Therefore, I tell you, stop being worried. Stop being worried or anxious, perpetually uneasy and distracted about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body as to what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow seed or reap the harvest nor gather the crops into the barns. And yet your heavenly Father, heavenly Daddy, keeps feeding them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, y'all listen to this, and who of you by worrying can add 1 hour, 60 minutes? Who can add 1 hour to the length of his life? And why are you worried about clothes? See how the lilies and the wildflowers of the field grow. They do not labor nor do they spin wool to make clothing. Yet I say to you, I say this to you. Not even Solomon in all of his glory and splendor dressed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive and green today and tomorrow is cut down, thrown as fuel into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. You of little faith. Therefore, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted, saying, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? For the pagan Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, but do not worry, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first, and most importantly, seek, aim, and strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and the character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. This is the last scripture I'm going to say from you having to stand up. So do not worry about tomorrow. That's Monday, y'all. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Monday's going to worry about itself, y'all. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Y'all can sit down. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, speak your word, God, through me. Let the Holy Spirit work, Father. Touch lives. Let them hear from the voice of God, God, and understand that you love them. And this word is for them in the name of Jesus. The word of God could have had me go because there's so much in the word. And the Spirit of God could have told me to tell you about the king who cried, Hezekiah. He cried because he was so sick. He was sick unto death. And God healed him. But God didn't say, I'm going to talk about that. Could have talked about favor. Joseph had that dream. Ran his mouth. Potiphar's house. False accusation of rape. Gone to the prison. But he had favor. God didn't say, we ain't going to talk about that. God is a mighty battle axe to fight our battles. All those things. God is a healer. No, he didn't wake me up for that, y'all. He said, we got to talk about the vessel and not the vessel where y'all been talking about. He said, the vessel called worry. He said, his saints are being destroyed by worry. And we could put on the makeup. You can look good, brother, like you do. All y'all pink. But God knows what's happening on the inside. And this worry thing has got to go. And so he's given me a word to talk to you because guess what? I know how it is to get worried. When those blood tests every week, what the PET scan them lit up on, the mammogram them showed this, the PSA them doubled on this. I know all that stuff. And I know what Satan does. He said, I gotta get her. Because she's worried. And yeah, I can go and teach and I can have the makeup and I can be the first this, that. But God said, no, my kids here at Elam and the people watching, we need to talk about this because we have to hear the voice of the Lord. Do you understand why he had that? Not just Matthew 6. You can go to Psalm 37. It said, fret not, baby. Talks about delighting in him, but it tells you first, fret not. But guess what? You know you're going to fret. I don't know who those people are on your memory board, but I guarantee you there was some fretting, there was some worrying, there was some concerning. Because that's how this body is built. We have these emotions. And when we see trouble for tomorrow, we know we work on trouble for tomorrow. We're working on trouble for 18 months. If they say you got 10 months, 18 months, 2 years to live, there's trouble. You're worrying about 2 years from now. But guess what, saints? We don't even know if we got today. Tomorrow is not promised to us. But we're going to talk about some guardrails for this worry. Because the scripture also has not just Psalm 37. Y'all know about Philippians 4. Well, if Philippians 4 says something, and I'm going to have us read it really quickly. Go to Philippians 4, And I'm going to talk about verse 6 and 7 for a bit before I give you what I'm going to call the guardrails against the vessel of worry. Now, it says, be anxious for nothing. Y'all remember what y'all were thinking of in your head? I want y'all to look at that in your head again. Because you got free rent in your head. You know, if you pay rent, you got a place to stay, whether it's 500 square feet, 900 square feet, 7,000 square feet. But whatever's in your head that you were thinking about, that's free rent in your head to worry. And God is supposed to be, it's supposed to be the temple of the Lord. So what do you got the worry in there for free rent? God said you can't have fear and faith. They shouldn't be riding companions. But yet that's what we do. We hallelujah, shouting, getting sweaty here on Sunday, but we already fearing and having fretting by the time y'all get in the parking lot and put your seatbelts on. And God said, didn't you just hallelujah? Didn't I just see you sweat up here? Didn't I see you just jump, mess up your knee up there? What's going on? But that's the reality of how we do it. And God said, the vessel of worry's got to go. It's got to go starting in us who say we love the Lord. So the scripture says, be anxious for no thing. So that thing that you were thinking of, no thing. You don't have permission for anything, whether it's the thing that was in your head, the thing that you're going to have tonight or tomorrow, be anxious for no thing. I don't care what the doctors have said to you. The lump, the growth. All the medical professionals in the world don't take the throne of God. And God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, even those medical reports, even how you're afraid for your sister, your brother, your mother, your daughter, yourself, you got to pray about that thing. Because guess what? Satan's whole aim is to steal, kill, and destroy. Y'all heard that. So it's surprising you that he wants to kill you. Steal, kill, and destroy. All of those are negative. So when you get this report about your ill health of yourself or your family, it surprises you. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And guess what? If he's not killing your loved one, he's going to start messing with in your head. And he's killing little by little your faith. Because you're saying, where's Jesus? I've served him. I've given my tithes and my offerings. I'm going to church. I'm doing right. I'm trying to do. Where is Jesus? This is not fair. But God didn't tell us about fair. He said faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So even though you know trouble's coming, but you know who's overcome the trouble. Plus says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Y'all know it's not easy to thank God when you know things are going. I had a tough time after my husband died. I love God. There's a song, I love God. Remember that crazy song? I love God, right? I love God. I know I love God. But it was tough to thank him. After you're grieving, as you're grieving, during your grieving in that process. But the thing that I had to do in order to get over that and go through it, I had to start thanking the Lord for William Helms' life, that I didn't have to meet him. I didn't have to have children with him. I didn't have to love and be loved by him. I didn't have to have one moment, but God allowed me. And some of these people that y'all love that are going through, y'all didn't have to be their brother, their sister, their mother, their wife, their all those different relationships. You didn't have to even have them in your life at all. And where you're mad with God, pissed off with God, how could you do this to this guy that I love, this woman that I love? You didn't even have to have them. It was through God's grace that you even had that opportunity to know them and love them and hear the funny stories and have those wonderful times. So I had to get to be thankful. I had to start praising. I'm part of a praise team, and I'm singing, and I love to sing. That's why I was getting ready to sweat, but I said, no, sit down, Nita. Sit down. Do what God have you to do. But until I started praising God again and thanking God, some of this stuff about guardrails I'm going to talk about, it was hard. It was hard. So I'm not telling y'all I'm a Pollyanna, that I got all these strength muscles in the Lord, because I got some muscles. Satan knows that. But also I recognize that the vessel called worry hits us all. But he says in his word here, let your request with the S on it. Because it's not just one request, y'all. We don't just want the cancer to go away. We want them not to come back. We want to be in remission, not to come back. Leave it alone. Let us live a life. That don't always happen. But we're going to still go to the Lord and request, be made known to God. But verse 7 says, and the peace of God. Now, we talk about peace. Y'all know we always talking about God's peace. Y'all have a piece of it, but y'all don't have this peace. Y'all just got a peace. Because if you had the full peace of God, when the trouble comes, something would stand up in you. But y'all know on playground, I see some of these little young children. Y'all don't realize they struggling with worry too. We all think they all having fun on the playground. There's bullies on the playground. There's nasty words on the playground. There's people that don't like them on the bus. They worried about you. They worried about how you going through. How granddaddy going through. How auntie going through. You got to be thinking about these children. But the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. And that's why I'm going to talk about three guardrails. I heard 30 minutes. Y'all let me know when I get too close. Guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The three guardrails that I want y'all to remember when the vessel called worry tries to get free rent in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. The first guardrail that I want you all to understand is that trust to know God knows your timeline. Everybody's afraid. If you're 25, if you're 45, if you're 65, if you're 95, when you going out of here? You're not going out of here until God knows the timeline that whatever he had purpose for your being here is done. Now, y'all don't like it because we keep seeing on the news, oh, there was a shooting in the daycare center. Oh, this person died of COVID. Oh, that car accident. Oh, that stray bullet. Oh, no, God didn't know that was going to happen. It surprised him. It didn't surprise him. It surprised us. But that's why you got to trust in the great I am for the timeline. Go to Psalms 139:16. 139:16 says, I'll give y'all a minute to look for it. Y'all do the papers and the phones and stuff. Psalms 139:16. Talking about the Lord our God. Your eyes saw my substance. And substance isn't your body. Isn't your eyeballs, your substance, what's inside, what he put before you were in your mother's womb. He saw your substance being yet unformed. In your book, they all were written. The days, the days, the days, the days, the days fashioned for me when yet there were none of them. Sometimes we're worrying that the nutrition we eat, you know, whether it's ham, it's pork, same thing, chicken, beef. I'm trying to be plant-based, so I'm trying to say to myself, do right. Anyway, when you go through all those things, you say, oh, I'm going to help myself. And that's true. Being healthy, exercising, it says it profited a little, messes up a knee too. I can vouch for that. All those things can help us do better in our life. I got that. Our body, this natural vessel. But it's going back to the dust. And you worrying, as we saw in Matthew chapter 6, you can't even out add an hour. Your tears are what God gave you. So we understand why you cry. But your worry that's coming with the cries is not helping anything. It's making Satan say, oh, I got him. I got mama. I got her and I got him. Because they so focused and distracted. Again, you can't serve God and mammon. Anything exalts itself above the Lord. And guess what? God knows your timeline. So when you start to say, oh, I'm having this pity party. I'm in depression. I'm so messed up because I don't know when she's going. I don't know when I'm going. When you go, you're going when God tells you to go. When God has prepared. He's gone to prepare a place. And you be prepared. Now, here's the thing here. The second guardrail. The first is, trust to know God knows your timeline. The second is, God has all power. When we start to hear a diagnosis, the doctor, the specialist, the PET scan, the PSA, the mammogram, the lymphocytes, all of that seems to have all the power. It's just controlling my destiny. I'm going to die. They've given me this, staged this. God still has all power. The word of God tells us that in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me. That's Jesus. When you say, where's Jesus in my crisis? Where's Jesus in my pain? Where's Jesus in my heartache? Does he understand what I'm going through? The stress? I can't eat. I can't sleep. Everything is messed up on the inside. They think I'm doing this. They think I'm doing fine. Where is Jesus? Jesus is saying, I still got the power. I'm still on the throne. Cancer is not on the left side of the throne. And then I saw this little ribbon thing on the back of the program. All those ribbons don't have no place on the throne of God. God is the author and finisher of our faith. And he says in Matthew, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Where's cancer? Is it on earth? So y'all thinking that God don't have authority? We saw what happened to Job. Job had bulls. He kept saying, why? And people were saying, I got this cancer. Why? Why me? Why didn't it hit him? Why didn't it hit her? He has authority over all things. And what's to say that this trial that you're going through is not for you to shine Jesus in the infusion centers, in the dialysis centers, in the hospital rooms? We did it. Rev and I were going to places. I tell you, you go to one doctor, he sends you to two more specialists. It gives you another pill that has another side effect. It was like an ongoing. And Rev said, I'm so sick of these doctors. I'm sick of all this practice because they don't know what they're doing. Y'all know how he's talking. At least Audrey and Sean do. He was just sick of them. He was sick and tired of being sick and tired. But he always recognized that he was under the authority and power and love and compassion and grace of the Almighty God. And if Satan's whole purpose was to steal, kill, and destroy, the Helm family, Anita and William Dallas, were going to praise God. And we would be going into the dialysis center, and I'd come in and I'd sit with him. He said, hey, baby, this is my good medicine. I said, how you doing, Reb? He had his scriptures in his ear, and he'd be just talking to the girls. He only wanted the girls. He didn't want them guys. You know, I don't know what difference it was to dialysis, but he liked his girls to put this little stuff in his. But he would talk to them about what's going on in their lives, and he would talk about the Lord. And when we would go get blood transfusions, we'd have the same ladies, and we'd talk about them, and we'd talk about Jesus, and we'd be there. And we wouldn't have no pity party. He wanted his warm blankets. Give me my warm blankets. I'm good. Now, let me rest. And then I wake up. I'm going to start talking about Jesus. I'm going to be talking about his loved Tommy Brady. Somebody was going to hear something. But he was always with the understanding that whatever this trial is, the trouble, we got to turn the trouble into a testimony. And it's not just about these singing songs. Sometimes you got to get these songs right down in the core of you because they're real. How great thy am. How great thy God. You know, all these songs, all amazing grace. They're real. Rev used to say, I will trust in the Lord. He'd sing it all the time. He said, God, show me. I got to trust him now. You say those songs, but God will say, okay, I'm going to see how good you really going to trust me. You talking a good game at Church of Elam. You talking a great game. But how much are you really going to trust? So God has all power. And you don't see Jesus worrying. Even when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying to the Father. He was showing his emotions, which that's what we do. But he first went to his Father. He asked those disciples with him to come on, pray with me. And they kept falling asleep. So some of the people that are with you may not be with you the whole time. You want them to be with you in a certain way, and they get this far, and they just don't go that far, that you need them. But the Father, who has Jesus right on the right hand of his side, praying for you, hurting with you, because he can be touched by emotions, because he had those emotions. But here's the last point. I know I'm getting close to my time. The last point is, don't fear the change. What change am I talking about? People are afraid of death, and I'm not being Debbie Downer. But when you could take that fear of death from Satan the power of whatever trouble's coming around you. You just threw almost all of it off the table. Because Satan knows that if he gives you any kind of trouble, especially when it comes to sickness and disease, of mama, daddy, grandmama, you, sister, brother, husband, oh, what's my life gonna be without them? What's my life gonna be when I die? I don't know. Yeah, you don't know, but God knows. And the scripture I take you to is what I took to my husband, is he was in hospice. When you hear the news, when you're in a hospital, I've never seen this, so I'm gonna tell y'all how it is. When you know that they can do no more, and you say, okay, we're done with all your practicing, they go to comfort care. Comfort care is just keep you comfortable, don't have any pain, and you basically just waiting. And they only gonna keep you in the hospital for so long because of insurance and money. Y'all know that. You choose to go home or you go to a hospice facility. Well, when my late husband went to hospice in our home, I continued to say, Satan, you're a liar. Not that he was gonna be healed. I can resolve to understand that, but I said, till the dying breath, from this life to the next, we are going to praise the Lord. We are going to praise the Lord. And we did. And this scripture I'm going to read to you, don't fear the change, prepare for it. It's about setting your house in order, even in the midst of the diagnosis, before the diagnosis, during the diagnosis, and after. The playing time of our lives has really been over for a while. Because if you can't see around you, Satan is getting busier because he knows that God's timing. We don't know when the Father's coming, but he has a suspicion it's getting close. Now, close is maybe another 2,000 years, going to be 20 days. We don't know what close is, but Satan says, things are starting to heat up and I need to get busy. And I need to do a little bit more stealing and killing and destroying. And guess who he wants to kill and steal and destroy? Some of y'all got some pink on, so I don't know if y'all got that. It's us who love the Lord, who are telling the word of God, who are dropping the seeds for other people to water for God to give the increase. So anyway, this scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption. This body, y'all, I don't know how you maybe not understand this, but in order for you to go to heaven, this body can't go. And because this body can't go, this shell can't go, it has to go back to the dirt, the dust, the clay that it came from, which means that it is going to take this life breath, and we're going to die. I'm whispering because when y'all hear death, you get kind of scared. And I want y'all to understand, you don't have to fear death. Because in that very next scripture, it talks about the mystery of the change. And that mystery of the change is that it's got to change from the flesh. Late William Helm couldn't be in heaven and keep that nasty body. And at that point, that body had been through so much stuff. I mean, so much stuff. I didn't know what other hole they could put in my husband at that point. He was just a mess, and in the flesh, the shell was done. And even when they die, they change colors, they look different. It's not what you want to see. But guess what? The body that went to the Lord wasn't this body with flesh and blood. Blood. You got blood in you. You ain't in heaven. But I guarantee you, where he is, he don't want to come back. And I know we all say, I love mama, I love daddy, I love sister, I love all these people that we love. Yes, we love. But when you get them in your mind, do you think that they want to come back here in the sickness? You think William wants to come back after rejoicing in front of Jesus that he wants to come back and be in a dialysis or getting blood transfusions, be tired and sick and just miserable and can't eat his chicken, can't do this? I mean, he wants to be in heaven about the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I would recommend and encourage you all, that one, remember, trust to know God knows your timeline, that God has all power, and don't fear the change of death, because God says in 1 Corinthians 15, death has been swallowed up in victory. And victory is no more sickness, no more disease, no more doctors, no more PSA, no more mammograms, no more this. I don't need no more mammograms, but I know I'm going to get them. But That'll be gone. When I'm gone to heaven, nobody's coming to say, hey, sister, we're in heaven. Come on, Golden Street, go get your mammogram. No, that's done. Done. So if you ever hear about Anita going, you can say, she's going to heaven. She don't have no more mammograms. But in seriousness to you all, I want to encourage you, because it's serious about the vessel of worry. And can I get y'all to say, it's got to go. Just, it got to go. It's got to go. It's stunting our growth, our witness for Christ, and we could be doing so much more with that space in our head if we would just trust the Lord. Now, I would like to ask for those who would need prayer. And this is a twofold prayer. A lot of y'all have people you know that are sick. And it's a struggle for them. And for those who say you love Jesus, when they see you, if you are down and upset and messed up, that doesn't help them. Yeah, you love them. I know you love them. But you got to love them enough to say, you know, there's a better day coming. And don't be all fake and all religious about it. I want you to say, tell them what you understand, what the Word of God teaches you and what you believe, because you really can't talk to somebody about something you don't believe. And when you go to talk to them about the joy of the Lord, when I talked to Rev and I was reading him 1 Corinthians 15, he was really in this kind of comatose state, but I was so excited. I said, you know, when you get ready to go, you get ready to see Jesus. You ain't got to do no more of this stuff down here. You get ready to worship the Lord and be and see the 420 angels. And look what it says. And I just went on and read that scripture. And he had this smile. It wasn't like a smile where you like McDonald's, Ronald McDonald smile. But it was like you could see the peace on him as he lay there to say, yeah. And I know our loved ones will miss us. But when we know Christ, we're going to see each other again. We're not going to be husband and wives. There's no marriage in heaven, y'all, so don't get that twisted. But the thing about it is we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have something to be joyful for, to look forward to. He didn't just say, he said, I'm going to prepare a place. And anything that God does is prepared very well. So my prayer right now is going to be twofold, because there's some of y'all that's worrying. And I want to pray about saying that worry's got to go. And that you can have hope. You can't see it now. And I got to tell you, your family member may not get healed. The remission that you are so grateful to have, it may change and cells may come back. But that doesn't mean you just say, oh, my life is over. You got today. You ain't got tomorrow promise. None of us got tomorrow promise, no matter what diagnosis we were dealing with. We got today. Praise him today. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord today. And don't judge yourselves by what you look like. If they cut something away from you, God loves you. He never loved you because of if you had one breast, two breasts, if you got this, you got that. He loves you. The core of you is not this shell. Your salvation was never about this shell. It was about your salvation of knowing who you are in your soul. The second part of the prayer that I would like, if you don't know Christ, I don't never make an assumption because church folks come to church, wear pink, blue, but whatever color y'all gonna wear, we gonna wear. We always gonna look good, I guess. But the reality is people come to church and they don't know Christ. They know about how to be churchy. But there's a scripture in Matthew 7 right next to that, Matthew 6, it says there are going to be people who come to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, didn't we not prophesy? Didn't we not? And he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Playing games with church don't work. It does not work. And I'm hoping for so much about this fellowship here, because there's work to be done. There's people out in these streets that are going to hell if you all don't throw away the vessel of worry and start to having the vessel of praise and hope and joy. So let's stand on our feet as we pray. For if you can't stand, don't stand. But if you can't stand, you pray. I'm going to have a twofold prayer about this worry and about salvation. Dear Father in heaven, glory to God for your word, Father. I pray for your spirit to touch lives, touch hearts, God. The vessel of worry's got to go, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. We call those things that be not as though they were. And we are saying, devil, you are a liar. And the word of God is truth. And the word of God tells us we are overcomers, more than overcomers, because of Christ Jesus who died for us. We cover the blood of Jesus over every person under the sound of my voice, Father. And where they are struggling, and it's a struggle, God. Worry is real. That's why you talk about it in the word of God, to fret not and be anxious for nothing. But God, there are things in our hearts and our minds that are causing us to be troubled for tomorrow, for past yesterday, God. But we say in the name of Jesus, help us to have your hope. Help us to have your peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The people want to understand how we can be joyous with any kind of diagnosis, with any kind of understanding of what our loved ones are going on and going through, Lord. But we know, God, who you are. We know that you are the author and finisher of our faith. We know, God, that we can trust the great physician for our timeline. We know that you've risen with all authority, God. But Lord, there are some people in this room, Father, that may not know you as their Lord and their Savior. They think they are playing a game, but God, you know who are yours. And Father, in the name of Jesus, if there are those in the sound of my voice that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior and believe him to be the only way that we can get to the Father is through the Son, we pray, God, now that they would come forward. Not a game anymore. We're beyond the halftime of our lives, many of us. And playing time is over, and we're at the 2-minute warning of our lives. And we need to make some decisions. So first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if we don't know who you are, God, and the salvation of our souls through Christ, people come before to this altar to get saved. It's not about church membership. It's about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can't say that he knows you, and heaven forbid that you get up to him and you stand before him and his Father, and Jesus said, I don't know you. Depart. That's not the time to hear depart. There's no exit signs in hell. So it's my prayer that if there's somebody here, you need to come. You need to come now. Don't delay. Come now. And I can say I've done my responsibility to ask you. I pray God has taught you about the word of God, the importance of it. But if you know that you know, if it's tonight, you're not going home to be with the Lord. You're going to spend eternity separated from God. Make that decision. You're embarrassed in front of this crowd of people who love you. What you gonna do when you're outside and they don't love you? Satan wants to kill and steal and destroy. But I pray, if it's your time, if you feel I just want to come, come. We love you. We love you. God loves you. If you can't trust our love, then trust God's love. He died for you. So I'm gonna say one last time, come. I don't see movement, but I don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing. I see some of y'all looking really uncomfortable looking at me. I'm just Anita. I'm a sinner like you, saved by grace. The wages of sin is death, and I know that in order to have the victory against death, I have to have a relationship with Christ. And I made that decision, and it's the best decision I've ever made in my entire life. So I'm going to say in the name of Jesus and in my prayer, but I'm giving y'all one last time because I can see that some of y'all's thinking about it. And you're like, I just don't know. I don't know if I can do it. I'll walk down there with you. I got heels on. I will walk down there with you and we will pray about your salvation. Don't go to hell because you're embarrassed. Don't go to hell because you're embarrassed to make a move. This is the time to make a move. All right, in Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's stand and give God some thanks.